Greg Haver is an interesting guy, and I'm really pleased to have a kōrero with Greg. He's a Welsh music producer, but he's based here in Aotearoa. This month, two Indigenous cultures from opposite sides of the globe are coming together to work on the revitalisation of heritage languages through collaborative songwriting. It's been held at the Big Fan Studios here in Tamaki Makaurau, and Greg is kindly with us to talk about working with Kai Waiata Māori songwriters, musicians, and celebrating this Indigenous connection. My name's Dale. I thank you for joining us on Pākehā today. Greg, haere mai. Tēnā koe.
Oh, hello. My pleasure to join you. It's great to be able to talk about this this initiative.
Tēnā koe. How's your Welsh language, brother?
Terrible. I'm actually... it's quite ironic that I'm kind of involved in this program, because neither my Te Reo Māori or my Welsh language are particularly good. So... But I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. I was brought up in East Wales, which is the sort of anglicised part of Wales, what they call the Welsh line, which is where Welsh language is spoken, tends to be West Wales and North Wales.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, due to industrialisation in the sort of Industrial Revolution, a lot of miners and workers from the north of England came into Wales. So the Welsh line got pushed further and further west. And I was brought up on the borders, so I'm very much in the anglicised part of Wales.
Same rag, am I pronouncing this right? Can you tell us about the Māori? Or look, maybe you should say it, and then I'll get a handle on it.
Oh, Cymraeg, yeah, which is the Welsh language.
Cymraeg.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Spelled Cymraeg.
Yes.
We've got a lot in common, haven't we, mate, as far as language revitalisation is concerned. You've lived here for a while too, Greg, so you can see the push for more people to re-embrace Te Reo Māori. It was the focus of our previous conversation. How's the language faring in Wales and the reconnection with the old tongue?
I mean, what's been really interesting is I spent a lot of time in my career working in the Welsh language with Welsh language artists, and moving here to Aotearoa, I've started working with a lot of Māori artists. I do a lot of work with Troy Kingi, and I've worked with lots of young artists here. So seeing the embracing of the language as part of identity, it was really important. And a lot of young Welsh artists, a lot of young Welsh bands are all singing in Welsh, because it's, you know, it's part of their identity as, you know, as a Welsh person, and it's very prevalent here as well. It's the, you know, Te Reo Māori is such a beautiful language, and it's such an important part of the culture here to embrace it in song and to embrace it, as a creative is a really big part of identity, and the parallels are really prevalent. And we did a panel a few months ago when I had a Welsh producer, David Wrench, over, who's a first language Welsh speaker. We did a panel with David and Thea and Troy Kingi, talking about this identity, about why identity within Indigenous languages is really important. And this is what led on to this writing event with the British Council, who were actually the first people that brought me over to Aotearoa 20 years ago. They saw a need for, you know, to bring both languages together and do a week of songwriting and see how both creative sectors kind of work with each other's languages, which is it's a really for me as a Welshman and a citizen of Aotearoa, it's very it's very heartening for me to sort of be involved in the week. I never thought I would see.
Well, music has the power to uplift, and I can't help but think back to the political reggae efforts of Herbs, just as an example of empowering peoples to pass out strong messages. In our efforts to revitalise Te Reo Māori, music has played a very important part. And when we recognise too that advances in technology are allowing people literally to create quality sounds out of their own lounge rooms and bedrooms, We've seen this plethora of new Waiata Māori, contemporary Waiata Māori, and introducing us to some fabulous new voices and perspectives, changing times, and again, able to look at the positives of non-English music to lift people here for Tangata Whenua, but perhaps even for the Welsh people as well. It must be very reassuring to hear your own languages in contemporary Waiata.
It is, and it's really interesting the parallels you just mentioned, that, you know, with herbs and reggae, and it's very much the punk movement in Wales, you know, bands like Amarevin and you know, and all the work that Rhys Moyn did in getting people like John Peel on board to play Welsh language music, you know, sort of that black and red, and there's so many amazing artists from that sort of like sort of early 80s period, and that really, that was kind of a, very much a touchstone for sort of to give Welsh language artists confidence to sing in their own sing in Cymraeg. And so as, and I always looked at it from afar as an English speaker, but because you know, there was a big movement as well to get a Welsh language TV channel. It was actually, I can't remember the name of the politician now, but there was they went on hunger strike in order to force the Thatcher government to have a Welsh language channel, and then a lot of important programs, programs like Video Now, and they were the launch pad for a whole generation of Welsh language artists, and now we're seeing, you know, the next generation of artists coming through, bands like Adwaith, and who were just brilliant artists who sing in their sing in Cymraeg, and it's a very important part of their identity as being a Welsh person. So the parallels are not lost on me, you know, not just the music, but culturally, and the you know, there's so many parallels between you know, the importance and the sort of like the rise and prevalence of Te Reo Māori and of the Welsh language. So it's this is why this week is a very interesting conversation. I'm sure there'll be lots of you know, sort of parallels and conversations and discussions about you know, how to keep on that revitalization.
Yeah, it's a very special collaboration, a songwriting hui deliberately bringing together two peoples who are in the throes of revitalising age-old languages. Baby boomers, I guess, maybe weren't so comfortable with hearing different languages, but it seems our youth are. World music, the internet is giving us access to all manner of beats and sounds from different parts of the globe, and so a lot of our rangatahi are pretty much unfazed by hearing songs in different languages. In fact, there's a bit of an appeal here. So we are well poised to come up with something very unique. On Sunday, I see that you've got a panel discussion at Te Noho Kotahi Tangamarae, and then it morphs into next week's collaborative songwriting mahi. What might we anticipate? Half-half, or have you got any preconceived ideas of what might come of this collaboration? Ewa?
It's interesting. It's the beauty of songwriting camps is you never really know what's going to happen, because it depends on the personality in the room on the day. I mean, myself and Kawatai, who's my curator on the event, you know, we will put people together on the first day based on what we think might be interesting. But really, after the first day, everyone kind of finds their own kind of their own sort of subgroups they want to work with. So, you know, I've done songwriting camps. I helped APA set up the Song Hubs camps in 2016. And so it's been really interesting seeing the growth and how much, you know, it's a great way for people to network. It's a great way for people to exchange ideas. And it's not just about the songwriting. But it's just to go back to what you were saying earlier, I'm actually officially a baby boomer. So it's quite interesting for me to see pushback from kind of my generation, whereas, you know, I spend most of my life with young musicians, so I get to see kind of both perspectives on the argument. And you know, I see nothing but positive in embracing, you know, embracing the language of our countries. And it's the Welsh is one of the oldest spoken language. I think it is the oldest spoken language in Europe. It's an old Brittonic language, and it's it's important. This is part of our heritage, and we need to retain these languages as and embrace them. And it's vital for any society to have diversity and to be able to embrace the past and look forward to the future. So hopefully, having two sets of musicians and songwriters who work within, who are, all the writers and producers I brought over are first language Welsh. So, Welsh is their sort of their language they speak at home, and it's really important this, they have this generation, sort of people who, who see the importance of that. And it's it's I'm really hoping that it could be 50-50%. And Thuramani and Cymraeg, it could be. I think we're having. I know in a way he's very keen that we don't have any English in sort of interspersing and within the songwriting. So let's see if we can stick to that rule. It's quite difficult with old languages, because there's some words that just don't exist. That there's a lot of words in Welsh that are anglicized. So it's how do we get around that? We shall see. It'll be very interesting to see after the 4 days where we get to.
It's going to be interesting. Is Hanawihi coming along? Who are some of the Māori artists that are part of this kaupapa, Greg?
We've got Rob Ruha, which is great because I've worked with Rob before. Mezurika. Can't remember the rest of the art. You'd have to. I've been kind of looking after the Welsh artists, and Carol's been looking after the Māori artists. So,
well, they're a couple of heavy hitters anyway. If you've got any
yes, yeah.
Welsh guys in the with the Cymraeg, looking forward to what comes of it, and obviously, really looking forward to playing some of the music. It sounds like a really amazing kaupapa. And it's something of a disclaimer too, mate. I'm a baby boomer, but just like you, Greg Haver, I like to think that I'm young at heart.
I think in our minds we never get older. Our bodies somehow tell us different,
tell me about
but it's yeah. But we both work in an industry where we spend a lot of time with the younger people, so we get an interesting perspective on the world and on life, and it's I think that's really vital, and it certainly keeps us young, I'm sure.
Well, it's neat talking with you. I respect the Welsh people and their reputation for song. I've been reading a book about Paul Robeson, actually. He spent a lot of time
All
up
right,
in
yeah.
and his influence on human rights and just the reputation he fashioned. For those of you who don't know Paul Robeson, he's famous for being the guy who first sang Old Man River, but he was a very strong advocate for workers' rights, including in the valleys of Wales, where he was a popular figure. So
Very
we're
much so.
very, very conscious of, if you want to learn how to sing big and to really project your voice, then you go to Wales.
You did. I mean, we have a great reputation for wonderful voices in Wales, and it's well deserved. I mean, I played on a record for Tom Jones many, in the 90s, and it was a
Which
great experience
one?
because
Which one, Greg?
it was an album called Reload, where he did duets with lots of younger Welsh artists, and I worked on a track with James Bradfield from the Manic Street Preachers, and we did a cover of an Elvis song, and it was, I think, my mother's finest hour, because I was brought up with, my mother listening to Tom Jones. My father bore a passing resemblance to Tom Jones. He's been omnipresent in my family my whole life. So to actually spend time with him and, work on a record for him was, I think, my mother's greatest, in her eyes, my greatest achievement as a musician.
Oh,
So,
man.
I know. And she'd carry the CD around in her bag and show people. It was quite charming. But and also, it sold 7 million records, so it was a pretty successful record. So it's to be part to work with the King of Wales, our sort of de facto king. But I remember him in the studio. His vocal warm up was just he'd come in, drink like a bottle of water, and go, and that was it, and they'd sing, and it would be incredible. So it was quite something to behold. So with the reputation for the Welsh voice is amazing, and the Paul Robeson thing is fascinating, because I was first alerted to his work by when I was working with Manic Street Preachers, who had a song called When Robeson Sings, which was so they told me the whole history, and I went back and looked some documentaries about him. And yeah, he was very, very a huge supporter of the Welsh working classes, and it was yeah, he's quite a legend in Wales for the work that he did. When it was very, it was very difficult for, Wales was not a very integrated society. It was interesting that he would have such influence in that period. So yeah, he's quite legendary in the, and also, it's just part of this kind of like long history of people with big voices being involved with, with Welsh music. And Cowarty was studied in Wales, studied opera. One of the artists I've got coming over, Kat Southall, was studied in opera as well. So we've got some pretty powerful voices in the room, so it should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, Cowarty Wakeford, he sang Pukarikariana for Kirita Kanoa in the house during the week. And, of course, your mate that your mum is so proud of, that's Sir Tom Jones, I see he's going to Napier. Is he still banging out? Is he still doing it good in his 80s?
He sounds great these days. He's got that kind of like old blues kind of thing going on, and it's great voices change, but they never lessen their kind of impact. And it's it's wonderful to see how people's voices do change over the years. And I've had the fortune been fortunate to work with artists over long periods of time, and just see how the voice matures like a fine wine. I feel it's like it may not have that kind of the sparkle of a kind of a young wine, but it has that kind of like that the complexity of an older vintage, and I think it's a really beautiful thing to see the way musicians develop in their craft and their voices develop. So it's Tom still sounds great. The last few albums I've heard that when he's gone back to the kind of blues roots have been really, really exciting.
Gee, it's been an interesting conversation. Thank you, Greg. I hope the hui goes really well next week, and really looking forward to playing some of these combos that bring together the Comrade and Rill. And we'll look forward to talking again, perhaps when we introduce our listeners to the product that comes out of next week's very intriguing hui. Thank you for sharing some kōrero with us about it, and go well. I hope it all works out as you'd hoped.
Have a great day, and it's always happy to talk.
Thank you, Greg. Greg Haver joining us on the program, Welsh producer.